Welcome back. 4:35 in the Anchorage Bowl on a mostly cloudy, sprinkly kind of afternoon. It is presently 61 degrees in our fair city, 66 up in the valley, and down there in Anchor Point, home of Kristen, our Kenai connection, it is a balmy 57 degrees. It's Friday, folks. 929-5160, our telephone number, if you'd like to dive with us into the Olympic-sized pool of ideas. A little bit later on the show, to close the show, we are going to get into the Israel-Hezbollah conflict. But for right now, we are very pleased to present our special guest today, Senator Hollis French. Hey, Hollis, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Aaron. Doing really well. What about you?
I'm hanging in there. I've been sick the last two or three days. This is my first day back in the studio since Tuesday, but I'm trying to be a trooper.
Lousy time of year to get sick. You got to be able to enjoy summertime right now.
You can't get sick in the summer.
That's right. You got to go fishing.
That's for February.
You got to go climbing. You got to do something fun.
I know it. All right. Well, hopefully this will be all. I'll be all better by tomorrow, and I can go have some fun this weekend. Speaking of having fun.
Yeah.
I understand some congratulations are in order. You were selected as a 2006 Toll Fellow recently. Congratulations to you, sir.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
What the heck is a Toll Fellow?
Well, you know, this fellow named Henry Toll started this about 30 years ago, and he was a person who wanted to bring together leaders from across the nation at the state level, not federal folks, but state level leaders, state senators, representatives, folks from the executive branch, judges, and so forth.
So was this guy a state legislator?
He was.
Oh,
and
okay.
He got this thing called the Council of State Government started, and so they began this Toll Fellowship in his honor. It was the 20th annual Toll class, and 40 of us met in Lexington, Kentucky, and they call it an intellectual boot camp, which was appropriate for some aspects and inappropriate for others. You sort of explore.
I want you to read, moron.
You know, it was really interesting. They have you do some kind of goofy, like, camp-style activities to lower the barriers between the folks there. Mm-hmm. And then they do stimulating things, like they took us to the state capitol in Frankfurt, and they had these two scholars, who one dresses up as Alexander Hamilton, one dresses up as Thomas and Jefferson, and then they debate each other. Mm-hmm. And the most stunning thing for me was when Thomas Jefferson spoke, this guy has an uncanny resemblance to Thomas Jefferson himself. He's been making a career out of impersonating Jefferson, but he had this nasal southern accent. And the idea that Thomas Jefferson would speak in clipped terms had never occurred to me. And it was just an eye-opener. You always think of him as, you know, this sort of deep and, you know, mighty guy. Yeah. And he spoke like a Virginia farmer, which was what he was, but it was just stunning to hear that come out of his mouth. And yet he'd been doing this so long, he had the cadences and the rhythms and the patterns of that speech, and he had delved so deeply into that era that he could really, you know, speak on any subject. And we got to ask questions. You know, I stood up and said, you know, look, Thomas Jefferson, at one point you said, in probably a flight of fancy, that the Tree of Liberty needs to be refreshed every generation with the blood of tyrants.
Yeah,
I said,
yeah.
Did you mean that, or were you just, you know, sort of, you know, jerking my chain a little bit?
And is now the time.
That's right.
Are we getting there yet?
If so, you know, have we, you know, stood up to your, and comported with your ideas? And he handled that question real well. Somebody else asked him, you know, a sort of a pointed question about Sally Hennings. This guy from California says, you know, hey, what about Sally Hennings and you and the slavery thing? And Thomas Jefferson goes, now, I guess the habit of manners has not gotten all the way out to California, because a gentleman would not ask such a question, sir. he just smoked this guy. It was really good. So it was entertaining, and you do meet interesting people. We met a guy from Quebec.
Now, are these Democrats, Republicans?
One of the beautiful things they do is you drop those labels. Hmm. You are not allowed to discuss party the whole time.
Really?
In fact, some of the folks I pegged for Democrats, you know, sort of the last night, you have a couple drinks, you start going, well, what are you? You know, what are you? Are you a D or an R? And some of the guys I'd pegged for D's were R's, and someone told me they'd peg me for an R, and I'm a D. And so it was a cynicism-lowering event. And so I got a lot out of it. You know, you learn some stuff, you meet a lot of great people, and you come back charged up to do some more state government work.
Well, that's cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. Senator French's summer vacation.
That's it. Lexington,
no, that's cool.
Kentucky.
And they named you a fellow. I guess that they do. One of 40 state leaders were picked for the fellowship program. Again, this is sponsored by the Council of State Governments. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I got made by the governor of Kentucky, who is under indictment right at the moment, unfortunately,
for some state job irregularities.
You know, handing out state jobs as political favors. But he did give me a little.
I know somebody in Juneau who might be able to relate to
the
that.
The parallels were shocking. But he gave me a little certificate naming me a Kentucky colonel. So I'll just have you know that
you're
I have a
Kentucky
certificate
colonel?
That makes me a Kentucky colonel.
Hmm.
I don't think that gets you anything more than maybe some Kentucky fried chicken. But hey, I'll take it.
Well, if you added the goatee and a bow tie, in about 20 or 30 years, I guess maybe I could see it. All right. Senator Hollis French, fresh off of government boot camp, is with us in the studio today. 929-5160, the telephone number if you've got a question or comment for him. So you're technically, I guess, in the middle of the second special session right now. It was recessed for a week. Some questioned the timing of that, of calling the special session. Anyway, I understand a whole bunch of legislators, including a lot of Republicans, are on a trip somewhere. It was
an energy conference mm-hmm. that is important to folks here because it's matters pertaining to Canadian energy, lower 48 energy, and our energy situation. And so it's a big conference that's scheduled every year. The governor knew it was going to happen when he called us into session, and it was probably a tough call on behalf of the leadership to say, A, you guys all have to cancel your trip plans and stay here and hate mm-hmm. life in Juneau, or B, we got to take some time off and go. And they made the call to go. The days of the session are ticking off, though. We started the special session on the 12th of July. It's over on the 11th of August, and the days are ticking off. I'm going back down Monday the 24th when everybody else is going back down to begin, our next try on solving the oil and gas riddle.
So it's back to work on Monday. What do you see happening here? I know that, gosh, the pressure has been coming from Washington with more and more intensity. Of course, we're also getting to, as of tomorrow, 1 month away from the August primary elections, that some added pressure to a lot of folks who are up for election or re-election. This seems like not exactly a perfect climate to try to come to some kind of agreement on possibly the most important piece of legislation that any of you might see in your entire careers. Over the next, you've got, two or 3 weeks? Not even 3 weeks, just a couple of weeks. What do you think, Senator French, is going to happen?
Well, I am optimistic that we can still salvage an oil tax revision out of this session. That would be the best result from my view. Fix the oil tax problem, say no to the gas line contract, and then come home and enjoy the rest of the summer and the fall. Whether that can be pulled off or not, I don't know, because there are now two different ideas out there, the PPT idea, the profits-based mm-hmm. oil taxation system, and then the idea that we would go back to the gross, mm-hmm. stay on the true value of the oil, the way we do it now, and just tweak that system and make it more up-to-date. So with those two ideas competing, and with a certain lack of leadership in the Senate where I serve, since Ben Stevens has announced that he's not running, that leaves him in a somewhat tenuous position. There were fractures in the Republican caucus at the end of last session, and those fractures I don't think have healed, and they're not likely to heal as long as there's no clear leadership. And
some would say it was almost open warfare with the Senate president at the last end of the session.
It was breaking down. It really was, and the conflict was quite severe, and I'm not sure that we're not going to see a severe problem in that the true head of the Senate is not sitting in the chair that's running the system.
And this is Republicans, by the way.
Exactly.
This isn't party bickering. This is Republican
within
leaders, Gene Theriault others that were so frustrated, so pissed off. Can you say pissed off on the radio, Gooseberry? Yeah, he says okay. That it really impeded something that maybe that could have passed at the end. I know Senator Ellis voted for the final version that made it out of the Senate, and I think it was close. But now,
you add this new movement to go to true value, and that just adds another a whole another variable. So we've got to get down there and get to work.
I want to ask you about some of the nuances of the taxes and the an explanation of this gross, going back to the gross profits tax that suggestion. Also, another idea advanced by a couple of your colleagues on the Republican side, oil and gas taxes and much more, coming up after a short break with our guest Hollis French. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on Kudo 1080. Give us a call, 929-5160.
You can tell it came from bells. Bells Nursery. Bells are ringing, children are singing. It's that time of year. When our eyes are filled with smiles from ear to ear.
Hi, Jim Bookie from Wheaties on O'Malley, where we have some wonderful specialty burgers for that time when you are in the mood to spoil yourself. How about a sautéed fresh mushroom cheeseburger, loaded with fresh sliced tomatoes, lettuce, pickles, onions, and our very special homemade burger sauce? Or a grilled onion cheeseburger with some great onion rings, with one of our great homemade milkshakes. To bring you the very best, our French fries are made from those famous fresh Idaho potatoes each and every day sliced in our store. We also bring you that lean buffalo burger from the plains of South Dakota, a great favorite of many. To give you that great quality of freshness, we do not cook it until you arrive at the restaurant, and not before drying out under a light before you arrive. Come on over to Wheaties on O'Malley, between the old and the new Seward Highway. We would love to see you.
Herb, if I bring my fish to Alaska Sausage for smoking, will it all be the same, or are there different ways that you can smoke it?
There are lots of options for you. Most people are familiar with the kippered salmon and the cold smoked lux. But we also make smoked salmon strips and other special seasonings like Cajun and lemon pepper. And halibut smokes up just wonderfully, too.
I'd like to send some smoked salmon to my relatives in the lower 48. Is this something you can help me do?
Of course we can. We can prepare your fish and ship it directly to your friends and relatives. And when they come to visit you, we'll prepare their fish and ship it home too.
I probably won't catch many fish this year. Can I still ship some outside to my family?
Absolutely. We have wonderful gift packs of smoked salmon and halibut, or even a combination of smoked fish and our famous sausage links with reindeer meat. It's easy to send and very much appreciated.
Alaska Sausage and Seafood is the place, 2914 Arctic Boulevard, 562-3636.
And tell them Herb sent you.
As we come nearer to your children starting school or going back to school, it's time to assess what value we place on their education. So, here's what you should know. For the second year in a row, Holy Rosary Academy has been named one of the top 50 Catholic schools in the United States. Holy Rosary students score an average of 200 points higher on their SATs. Just think what that means. With 200 points more on their SAT scores, your children will have their pick of schools. And if money for college is an issue, as it almost always is, many very good schools have scholarships, real money, to attract top students, the kind of students that graduate every year from Holy Rosary Academy. And don't forget, Holy Rosary's primary school runs more than 3.5 grades above national averages on their California Achievement Test scores. 3.5 grades. Holy Rosary currently has openings for students of all faiths and ethnic backgrounds in most grade levels. You don't have to be a superior student to enroll, but you'll be one by the time you leave. Holy Rosary Academy. Call 276-5822.
And welcome back. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on Kudo 1080 AM. We've got our guest, Senator Hollis French, the Bulldog of Juneau, here in the studio with us. But right now we have got some breaking news, I understand, concerning the division of elections. Let's go to line one right now, where we're joined by Rich McClear from Kudo. Rich, are you there, sir?
I sure am.
What's going on?
Well, what happened is, as you know, 7 months ago, the Democrats filed requesting to see the Diebold tabulator files because of the election returns being so screwy on the state's website.
Right, this is regarding the 2004 general election.
Yeah. And 7 months ago, the Democrats filed, and the state said you can't see the files because it's proprietary for Diebold. About 5 months ago, Diebold said you can release the files because this is so messed up, we have to fix it. The Division of Elections has stalled. They have now given the Democrats a 200-page response, to which the Democrats have to respond by Monday morning, or else the Democrats could ask for an extension. But the gist of the response is, it's too late, it's too close to the primary, it's delayed too long, we can't release the tabulator file without compromising the election process for this year.
Oh, really? So they wait 7 months, and then their excuse is, well, it's too late.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, that's not funny, but it kind of is. Well,
I'm not sure whether it's funny or not, but I'm getting the Democrats are going to send me over sections of the Republicans' response, and I'm going to be working on it over the weekend in the commentaries, and that will be the topic of Monday's show. Kay Brown will be a guest on Monday's show. Right now she's busy crafting a response.
I'm sure they got to scramble to do something. And this isn't the first round of stalling coming from the Division of Elections either.
This is
like, what is this, the third or fourth time that they put this off? It's just that this time it's been an extra long time. There's a lawsuit pending, though, isn't there, Rich?
This is a response to the lawsuit. The Division of Elections' response to the lawsuit was it would compromise the primary election, which is a month away, if they released the central tabulator files now, and Diebold would probably not be able to put together new tabulator files in time for the primary.
Wow. Does that kill the lawsuit, effectively?
Well, we don't know how the Democrats are going to respond. That's what this weekend's work will be all about for them.
Oh, Kay Brown's not going to give up. She's
no,
not going to roll over
David
for
Troop.
This. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, thanks for the update, Rich. Not exactly good news, but we've been waiting a long time to hear something on that. Hopefully they don't get away with this. I mean, you can't... you wait 7 months and then claim that it's too late.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks.
You bet. All right. 929-5160, if you'd like to chime in on the conversation we're having with Senator Hollis French. Senator French, you've been paying attention to this?
Well, just as I was over at Democratic Party headquarters today and spoke with Kay Brown briefly, she was on her way home to get ready for this response that's due on Monday. She needed a place to concentrate. Mm-hmm. But we spoke about it a little bit, and she dispelled one of the myths that I had in my head about this problem, and I believed... You know, when I go to the polls, I fill out by pencil a paper ballot.
Right.
And they take that paper ballot and they put it through the AccuVote machine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been my belief that paper ballot is sort of my, it's my guarantee that somewhere, somehow, there's a check on what happened. And you can go back and count my ballot to see what happened. But I found out that that's not exactly true, because when they do a recount, they don't count those ballots by hand. They run them through the AccuVote machine.
They put them through
again.
The same. It's an optical scanning
exactly.
machine.
Exactly.
And they just do the same
and
thing
so
again.
So if there's an error in the optical scanning tabulator, it's going to persist through the recount. And they do some hand checks, but it's not the same as doing a hand recount. So I was surprised to learn that, disheartened to learn that, and I'm certainly going to be paying more attention to this lawsuit as it proceeds.
I hope so. I think it might be time for our legislature to take some action, to be honest with you. It's high time. I know that a lot of folks are very concerned about that. If you can't trust that your vote is being counted and counted properly, what kind of a democracy do we have? This is the Aaron Selbig Show. Senator Hollis French, our guest. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back on the other side.
Need to send a gift to friends or relatives outside? Why not send fresh Alaskan seafood? Here's how you do it. Just go to NewsAgaya.com and choose from a wide variety of seafood gift packs. NewsAgaya will send a beautifully packaged, sturdy, reusable styrofoam box anywhere in the U.S. Gel ice and dry ice will keep your package cold and fresh so it arrives in perfect condition. NewsAgaya does it every day, and they'll send it to anywhere in the U.S. So go to NewsAgaya.com today. Your friends and relatives will be glad you did. NewsAgaya.com. You'll be glad, too.
Herb, my friend and I were at a party recently, and the host served some smoked salmon strips. He told me Alaska Sausage smoked it for him. I didn't even know Alaska Sausage could do that with my salmon.
Yes, our smoked salmon strips are an excellent product. It's ready to eat right out of the package, and it's great for snacking, camping, and entertaining.
Herb, Alaska Sausage made some lemon-peppered smoked salmon for us last year. That was wonderful. Do you have other flavors as well?
Yes, there's lots of options. People like our kippet salmon and our cold smoked salmon lox, and we can add special seasonings like Cajun and lemon pepper. But I also recommend smoking your halibut.
It produces a moist product that is just wonderful.
Herb, we don't do much fishing, but I would love to send some outside for our friends. Can you do that for us?
Absolutely. We not only have gift packs of smoked salmon and halibut, we can also mix in any combination of our famous Alaskan sausage with reindeer meat, or maybe bratwurst for our spicy Louisiana hot links.
Alaska Sausage and Seafood is the place, 2914 Arctic Boulevard.
Just tell them Herb sent you.
You can tell it came from bells. Bells nursery. Bells are ringing, children are singing. It's that time of year.
It's that time of year.
When our eyes are filled with smiles. From ear to ear.
And welcome back, 4:56 in the Anchorage Bowl. Our guest, Senator Hollis French. We just had some breaking news before the break. If you missed it, Rich McClear called in to give us the update. We've been following that. Well, we had been following this on the show for a long time. Issues related to the 2004 general election. The Democrats, quite a while ago, the Alaska Democratic Party requested that the Division of Elections turn in their central tabulator file, it's called. Because if you go to the Division of Elections website and you look at the totals for the votes for the state, they don't match up when you take them on a precinct-by-precinct basis and add them up. As a matter of fact, George Bush got screwed according to the Division of Elections' own results. He got shortchanged by several thousand votes, I think it was, when you add up all the precincts. Also, some of the precincts had more than 100% voter turnout, which was a little bit suspicious. All the Democrats wanted to do was to be able to have the hard file, the hard information, so that they could go through and make sure that everything was counted properly. The Division of Elections stalled three or four times. I think this might be the fourth time. The fourth time was the charm, apparently. Well, hopefully not, but they waited 7 months. They have turned in today a 200-page response, which basically says there's not enough time left. It's too late. If we release the tabulator file now, it's going to compromise the integrity of the 2006 election. And they had 7 months to put together this 200-page response, and Senator French, now Kay Brown, gets to spend all weekend. She's got 3 days.
To get together a response that's due in court on Monday, mm-hmm. and then or else they can ask for more time. But the judge will be waiting. With the primary clock ticking away, as we know, it's down to 30 days, and so it's put the D's in a terrible position.
We got a couple of minutes before we get a break at the top of the hour. I want to ask you real quick: do you know of some kind of a long-term solution, thinking beyond this lawsuit, even where we can fix this problem? Because we're not the only state. These Diebold machines, these voting machines, are painfully easy to hack into. Tests have been done all over the country, and that's been proven. Yet we not only are using them, we continue to buy more of them. What should we do?
Well, especially in a small state like Alaska, it's not that tough to count those ballots. My compadre, Senator Johnny Ellis, took a good strike at this by demanding a paper trail, and we still have paper ballots, thank goodness. But as we mentioned before the break, those paper ballots are recounted by the same machine mm-hmm. that created the false outcome in the first place.
We had a mm-hmm. caller that has suggested a hand receipt. If you have a hand receipt for your vote, mm-hmm. would that help?
Mm-hmm.
Something that would at least give you the satisfaction of knowing that your vote was counted the way you intended.
My view is that a hand recount of a paper ballot is hard to mess with.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't get down there and corrupt human beings the way maybe some folks think you could. I would trust a human being to count my ballot accurately.
We got to get out of here for the top of the hour break. Technology comes, and sometimes we get too ahead of ourselves with technology, I guess. Nobody alleging really any conspirational theories here, but definitely something fishy going on with our voting machines. Senator Hollis French is going to stick around with us on the other side of Air America News. Stick around for more of the Aaron Selbig Show.
Hi, I'm Aaron Selbig, and this is KUDO 1080 in Anchorage. Tune us in, keep us on, because without you, there is no KUDO.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The first international Red Cross relief convoy has made it to a besieged southern city in Lebanon. At the same time, Israel's United Nations ambassador says his country will allow humanitarian supplies into Lebanon. After a six-hour journey from Beirut, two trucks arrived in the city of Tyre. Aboard 24 tons of food, medical supplies, and other aid. A relief official says the organizers had to coordinate with Israel. He says it's the first response they've gotten to request for better humanitarian access. Israel has imposed the sea and air blockade of Lebanon, creating shortages of needed supplies. The Israeli United Nations ambassador says he expects a humanitarian corridor for food, medicine, and other supplies to open shortly. Condoleezza Rice says it's time to work urgently to bring stability to the Middle East as she plans to head Sunday to the area in hopes of reaching a peace deal. Rice will meet with Israeli and Palestinian leaders and then meet with officials of other countries in Rome. Speaking at the State Department, Rice renewed the call for Israel to avoid harming civilians, but she also said the U.S. considers it unacceptable for Hezbollah to drag the region into war. Rice rejected an immediate ceasefire. She said that would be little more than a false promise that would just let Hezbollah launch new attacks at will. Meanwhile, the battle between Israel and Hezbollah seems to be on the verge of escalation. Israel now has troops and tanks along the border with Lebanon. Military officials say they're preparing for a possible invasion by Israeli ground forces that would mark a new front in the 10 days of fighting. Although Israeli troops have gone into the border areas in recent days, they say, most of the fighting has been done by air and sea. At least five people were hurt by the waves of Hezbollah rockets falling in northern Israel today. Nearly two dozen people reported suffering from shock in Haifa, Israel's third largest city. One volley hit a small square and blew out windows and offices and shops. A freighter headed into port turned back as other rockets fell. Missouri National Guard personnel carrying bottled water and cookies on a mission to help people endangered by the heat in St. Louis. Overcast skies today were providing some relief from the 100-degree temperatures, but many are still without power. Officials worried about the potentially deadly combination. A Coast Guard spokesman says so far the most people seem to be okay. This is Air America Radio News.
I'm Rich McClear with a Kudo Commentary. Earlier in the week in the paper, we saw on the front page a picture of Israeli schoolgirls writing messages on shells that would be fired at Lebanon. I've seen those images far too often. In the Balkans, it was little kids pulling the lanyards on cannons to fire the shots at someone else's village, having their pictures taken doing it, involving kids in war at an early age. This happened to be a picture of Israeli kids, but this is not limited to Israelis. If you looked at the curriculum in the Palestinian school system, you would despair at any hope for peace between Israelis and Palestinians. Each generation, in order to fight its current wars, lays the seeds for future wars. Lebanon was a country that had some hope. Through a demonstration of people power, they got rid of the Syrians. They were beginning to develop a fragile democracy. Lebanon had more freedom of the press than any country in the region, save Israel. I'm concerned about what's happening now. The one real chance we had for democracy in the Middle East might be evaporating, at least for a while. What do we do about it? Well, this is the very reason the United Nations was created. If you've listened to me in the past, you know that I'm not a big fan of the UN. I think the UN is corrupt and inefficient. But who else in this case? You've got a fragile government in Lebanon that's trying to develop a democracy. You've got a party, Hezbollah, which is trying to fight an enemy across the border. And then you have Israel, that believes it's fighting for its very existence. This may be one time when peacekeepers stationed in southern Lebanon, keeping the Israelis and Hezbollah apart, can give the fragile government in Beirut, which just may evolve into a democracy, some time to sink roots, give civil society and press freedom a chance to work somewhere in the Middle East. For KUDO, I'm Rich McClear.
Mountain Mechanical's Winter Startup Special is a complete inspection of your residential heating system for just $39.95. Mountain Mechanical's friendly experts will make sure your heater is safe and working great for the upcoming heating season. Mountain Mechanical has been doing its $39.95 preseason checkups now for 10 years, and no other plumbing and heating company has ever come close to matching or beating our price. Why do you ask? Simple. They all know our commitment to providing reliable heat to the public for the best price possible. If gas goes over $5 per gallon, Mountain Mechanical will still be doing its winter startup special for $39.95. When the polar ice cap melts and Alaska needs air conditioning, Mountain Mechanical will be doing your preseason checkup on your air conditioner for $39.95. If you're wondering how much you paid for last year's checkup or the year before and you didn't use Mountain Mechanical, you can be absolutely sure you paid more than $39.95. Call 344-0700 to schedule your appointment. That's always on call. Mountain Mechanical, your plumbing and heating specialist, 344-0700.
Hi, this is Suzanne Rust with K2 Aviation in Talkeetna. This year, I would like to invite you to land on a glacier. There are few places in the world where you can have this incredible experience. K2 Aviation will land you on the gentle slopes of the Ruth Glacier at 5,800 feet above sea level. Get out, take pictures, marvel at the grandeur of the Don Sheldon Amphitheater, and experience the peacefulness of the mountains as only climbers do. This year, choose a flight seeing tour with K2 Aviation as your Alaskan adventure. I encourage you to experience the wonders in your own backyard. Call K2 Aviation at 1-800-764-2291 or visit our website at flyk2.com. Come to the place where memories are made.
Good 1080 weather for tonight will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers. Rain along Turnagain Arm, lows in the 50s. South winds 10 to 20 miles an hour in town. East winds 20 to 35 miles an hour along Turnagain Arm and at higher elevations. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. Highs in the mid to upper 60s. Light winds in town. Southeast winds 20 to 30 along Turnagain Arm and at higher elevations. Tomorrow night will be cloudy with a chance of showers. Lows in the 50s. And Sunday, cloudy with a chance of showers. Highs in the mid 60s to low 70s. Lows in the upper 40s to mid 50s. 50s.
And welcome back. 5:07 p.m. in the Anchorage Bowl. It is presently 61 degrees in our fair city with light rain scattered around town. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage, and this is the Aaron Selbig Show. I'm your host, Aaron Selbig, joined alongside by our brave, intrepid board operator, subbing for JR, Mr. Gooseberry, and in the studio with us this segment, Senator Hollis French, the Bulldog of Juneau. Now, I just made up that nickname earlier in the show, Senator French. Do you mind it?
I'm okay being a bulldog.
Okay, because yeah. I honestly see you that way. You are a guy in Juneau, and unfortunately they're few and far between, Senator Ellis being another one, that's not afraid to stand up and say something, even if it's not probably the most popular thing to say at the time, and I respect you for that.
Appreciate that.
You bet. All right, 929-5160, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Did you see, Senator French, what happened to poor old Drew Pierce at her confirmation hearing?
She got raked over the coals a little bit.
Holy smokes. Drew Pierce is a former state legislator, and she was a special assistant to the Interior Secretary. She's been nominated by President Bush to a new job that didn't even exist until now. It's a new federal coordinator for construction of the Alaska gas pipeline.
Yeah.
This is another layer of pressure after getting scolded by Senator Stevens and getting a letter from...
I got a letter from Dick Cheney.
From Dick Cheney that had gunpowder fingerprints at the bottom of it, I understand. I just can't resist.
Not mine.
Anyway, she's going through this confirmation hearing in the Senate yesterday, and Senator Pete Domenici from New Mexico, man, he really... I mean, Drew Pierce, we've had her on this show, and she's no little bunny rabbit.
She's a very serious
individual.
She's
a tough person. She really is. And I'm sure she can handle this, but this guy really went over the line. I mean, he's frustrated with how long it's taking for the legislature to rubber stamp Governor Murkowski's gas line proposal, apparently. And he asked Drew Pierce, what's the holdup? He said, Drew Pierce responded by trying to comfort the Senate that things do appear to be going along. She says the legislature does appear to have critical mass to move forward on an oil tax change. I did question that. We'll get to that in a second. But his comeback, even though he's got a point here at the end of it, is really, really nasty. He said, "You can sit there and tell me with your nice, placid face that this is all going along and the legislature is going to vote and approve things, but things aren't going very well. There are too many disputes going on for my cup of tea. There's an awful lot of something that smells and looks like politics going on." Well, imagine
that.
Yeah,
that's shocking. Politics. It's shocking that politics would enter into the biggest decision facing the state for the next 30 years.
I guess that doesn't happen in New Mexico. But.
Yeah, it must. Yeah, they got a spin-free zone there. The
bipartisan
whole
support on everything.
You know, it is too bad that he lost his temper with Drew Pearce, because she is a good public servant. But, you know, he did have a point. The
right.
point is that things are in a mess here because of some of the problems we talked about before the break, the lack of leadership in the Senate, and, you know, now the bifurcation of the debate into two wings. Profits-based oil tax system versus true value, gross oil tax system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got to come to a decision. And, you know, shame on us if we come home empty-handed with $70 oil pumping down the pipeline every day, Exxon making more money than you can even think of, and, you know, the state schools still having a 40% dropout rate before kids graduate out of high school.
And a legislature still reluctant to share some of our surplus money with our rural communities.
Absolutely.
The list goes on and on. Senator Lisa Murkowski was asked about this. She said that the state cannot be seen as dragging its feet on this project. If we do that, we lose. Are we dragging our feet on this project?
Well, nobody's dragging anything. I think the real issue is that these are contentious and fundamental policy choices. It's just very it's central to our sovereignty that we get this right. If we don't get a good oil tax, then we're doomed to crummy roads, crumbling schools, and lack of law enforcement. And if we make the right decision, you know, we can be a shining beacon on a hill. I mean, I really believe that Alaska is on the cusp of a great new era, but it's fundamentally about us seizing control of our resources, dealing with them in a fair way, and getting the right deal out of this.
Do you think that by the end of this special session, and you've only got a couple of weeks, it resumes on Monday morning? You said before that in the show that you did believe that it's possible, gas pipeline aside, it's possible that the oil tax restructuring could happen in this special
session. That's what I'm going to be focusing on. I'm going to be focusing on that almost exclusively. I think the contract is so flawed that you just can't get enough support for it right now the way it's written. And it's going to take it's going to take the governor's election to settle how we resolve this. And that's not going to happen until November. So my view is fix oil taxes. Don't let another year go by with us living under a broken system. And then deal with the contract. We will get to it, and we will build it. The gas is not going anywhere. That's a resource that will always have value, and we can sell it when we get ready to, but we can't be rushed and stampeded into a bad decision.
Also, in the November election, voters in the state will be voting on the gas reserves tax, a $1 billion tax for the oil companies not acting on gas reserves. This is Prudhoe Bay and specifically Point Thompson aimed at that Exxon's been sitting on forever. This is Eric Croft and Harry Crawford that have really put in a hell of a lot of work to get this on the ballot in the first place. Governor Murkowski, of course, coming out strong, given it the full court press lately, as a matter of fact, against this thing. I want to ask you about that in just a minute. Before we do that, though, I think we've got a caller on the line who wants to talk about the Division of Elections decision today. Let's go to line one right now, where we're joined by David. Hi, David. David, are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm right here.
Hi, David. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking a different way to maybe look at this whole issue is, wasn't it Lincoln that said that democracy is of the people, for the people, and by the people?
Mm-hmm.
Then
how is it
that any corporation could have a proprietary interest in democracy?
I'm sorry, say that again, David.
How can any corporation, or for that matter, any person, have a proprietary interest in democracy?
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and that really was one of the main arguments when the Alaska Democratic Party requested this information. It was the Diebold Corporation that says, no, you can't have that, it's proprietary, you'll have all of our passwords, you'll have company secrets. However, they capitulated after some pressure. So the way it stands right now, David, it's not a contest with Diebold. It's with the State Division of Elections, and yeah, I'll say it, Lauren Lehman, who's the head of the Division of Elections. Now,
well, I understand that, but still, remember, the argument may still be there in the future that a corporation can say that they have a proprietary interest in something that's essentially democratic.
You're absolutely right, David. I agree with you. It seems anti-democratic by its very nature.
And
Senator
especially
French?
Especially when corporations themselves, I have yet to see a democratically run corporation where employees have a vote.
Well, you know, David, you've got a great point, and you know the real issue
is
what the state got when it bought that system, and it should have gotten it lock, stock, and barrel, or you shouldn't do business in the first place. Either we own that and we can do with it as we please, and it's a public record once it becomes state property, or it's not, and you move on down the line to a different vendor who will not sit there and try to shroud their vote-counting program in secrecy.
And, you know, people raise all of this speculation, and unfortunately, Diebold hasn't helped that situation at all. It was their former CEO, Wally O'Dell, who was quoted as saying before the 2004 election that he would deliver the votes of Ohio to the Republican Party. That makes people, that feeds
chills.
The suspicion.
Chills, yes, it does.
Understandably. It's 16 minutes after 5 o'clock. We got to take a short break here on the Aaron Selbig Show. Senator Hollis French, our guest, if you got a question or comment for him, give us a call at 929-5160.
Need to send a gift to friends or relatives outside? Why not send fresh Alaskan seafood? Here's how you do it. Just go to nusagaya.com and choose from a wide variety of seafood gift packs. Nusagaya will send a beautifully packaged, sturdy, reusable styrofoam box anywhere in the U.S. Gel ice and dry ice will keep your package cold and fresh so it arrives in perfect condition. Nusagaya does it every day, and they'll send it to anywhere in the U.S. So go to nusagaya.com today. Your friends and relatives will be glad you did. Nusagaya.com. You'll be glad, too.
Does your old computer slow you down? Do you feel the need for more speed, more memory, maybe even a larger hard drive? Then come on into Computer Renaissance and trade up during our trade-in, trade-up event. At Computer Renaissance, we sell and even trade new and refurbished computer equipment. We have all the latest name brands and accessories, and we service systems right here in the store on site. So let's talk trade and get you into a computer with more RAM, faster processor, or anything else you might want. You know, we can even custom build a system just for you. Save yourself some time and money and trade in, trade up at Computer Renaissance. Computer Renaissance. We're all about computers.
In Alaska, you'll find Computer Renaissance, 211 Diamond Boulevard. That's in the Kings Row Shopping Center, right across from Toys R Us. Or if you're in Wasilla, it's on the Parks Highway, right next to Fred Meyer. Computer Renaissance. We buy, sell, and trade, and our service is the best.
Herb, if I bring my fish to Alaska Sausage for smoking, will it all be the same, or are there different ways that you can smoke it?
There are lots of options for you. Most people are familiar with the kippered salmon and the cold smoked lox. But we also make smoked salmon strips and other special seasonings like Cajun and lemon pepper. And halibut smokes up just wonderfully, too.
I'd like to send some smoked salmon to my relatives in the lower 48. Is this something you can help me do?
Of course we can. We can prepare your fish and ship it directly to your friends and relatives. And when they come to visit you, you'll prepare their fish and ship it home too.
I probably won't catch many fish this year. Can I still ship some outside to my family?
Absolutely. We have wonderful gift packs of smoked salmon and halibut, or even a combination of smoked fish and our famous sausage links with reindeer meat. It's easy to send and very much appreciated.
Alaska Sausage and Seafood is the place, 2914 Arctic Boulevard, 562-3636.
And tell them Herb sent you.
You can tell it came from Bell's. Bell's Nursery. Bells are ringing, children are singing. It's that time of year.
It's that time of year.
When our aisles are filled with smiles. From ear to ear. You can tell it came from Bell's. Bell's Nursery.
Here's a number for you to remember, 869-1080. That's 869-1080. Why? It's the number you can call on Kudo in the Morning to talk to Alaska's newsmakers. Join in the conversation, Kudo in the Morning, Monday through Friday, 8 until 10. That number again, 569-1080. Here on Kudo 1080.
And welcome back to the Aaron Selbig Show on KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage. We're joined in the studio this segment by Senator Hollis French. If you've got a question or comment for him, give us a call at 929-5160. Senator French, we got a caller on line two. Let's go there now. And to Caroline. Hi, Caroline.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm fine, although the Mission Impossible theme music makes me a little foreboding there, I think, based upon what we're up against. A couple of things that you've already touched on, and then I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
As to the voting, it's my understanding that Canada has paper ballots only, and they're hand marked and they're hand counted. I would think that voting is important enough for government to run. It's kind of like we feel like our government should run prisons, but now of course we're farming those out to private industry. Is there nothing that private industry someday won't take over, and have they already taken over our democracy in terms of our voting? And the thing with the gas, I couldn't understand when I first got here. Well, I got here in 67, so it was earlier than some of this stuff went on. But why didn't we have a gas tax, a gas in place tax like Montana and Wyoming? And why can't we show that is the way other states do it, and it's something that we should be doing?
Caroline, when you say a gas in place tax, what do you mean exactly?
Well, there's a tax that is placed on the gas that is in the ground and not moved out.
A reserves tax,
mm-hmm.
like the one that Eric Crofton...
It's being called a reserves tax, but my understanding is that Wyoming and Montana are two of several states that have a tax on the gas in the ground.
Caroline, I will have to look into that because I've just, every time that Roger Marks, one of the chief folks that's been looking into this for the governor, speaks, he says, we've found nothing else like this on the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. And they said that just yesterday.
That's right.
As a
so,
fact.
If that's the company
well, it
line.
May, mm-hmm. It may be that it's...
And you've got evidence to the contrary. I'd love to know about it.
Well, I know that when I worked in news in Fairbanks back in 78, 79, in that time frame, I got a call from a stockbroker friend who then I called Pacific Gas and Electric and got a nice little actuality, a little short recorded interview with the guy who had bought a third of Exxon's gas in place. So now if PG&E is buying the gas back in 78, 79, what's with that? Why isn't some of that stuff, there's so much of this stuff that people have forgotten. The fact that the LNG plant in Valdez, their lead attorney was Catherine Stevens. All of this stuff has been going on for so long, and it's like this is brand new, and we've got to move on it yesterday. And I admire what you've done on fighting for this, because, my Lord, what would we have? And all of these people can't be... I don't understand how they can go along with it. It's not as if their pockets are getting lined, I'm hoping. How in the world can they sell us down the river? I just don't understand.
I think
how
maybe it might be because their pockets are being lined, actually.
Well, I don't know how you can go about doing that without it coming to the light of day. But my final comment, as a member of the largest voting bloc in Alaska, the nonpartisans, why can't people reverse and just flip it? So, if the D's were in charge and they were doing these things, like the R's would be screaming bloody murder.
I would be
screaming bloody murder at the D's if they were doing the things the R's are doing. So why can't each party just look and say, how would I feel if it was the other party doing that to me?
I'm going to assume that's a rhetorical question, but just in case it's not, we'll see what Senator French has
to
say about
it. That goes along with my toll experience, Caroline, and I appreciate that utopian thought. I think it's worth keeping in mind.
Thanks, Caroline. We've got to take a short break here on the show. Senator Hollis French, our guest, give us a call, 929-5160, if you've got a question or comment for him.
As we come nearer to your children starting school or going back to school, it's time to assess what value we place on their education. So, here's what you should know. For the second year in a row, Holy Rosary Academy has been named one of the top 50 Catholic schools in the United States. Holy Rosary students score an average of 200 points higher on their SATs. Just think what that means. With 200 points more on their SAT scores, your children will have their pick of schools.
And if money for college is an issue, as it almost always is, many very good schools have scholarships, real money, to attract top students, the kind of students that graduate every year from Holy Rosary Academy. And don't forget, Holy Rosary's primary school runs more than 3.5 grades above national averages on their California Achievement Test scores. 3.5 grades. Holy Rosary currently has openings for students of all faiths and ethnic backgrounds in most grade levels. You don't have to be a superior student to enroll, but you'll be one by the time you leave. Holy Rosary Academy. Call 276-5822.
Herb, my friend and I were at a party recently, and the host served some smoked salmon strips. He told me Alaska Sausage smoked it for him. I didn't even know Alaska Sausage could do that with my salmon.
Yes, our smoked salmon strips are an excellent product. It's ready to eat right out of the package, and it's great for snacking, camping, and entertaining.
Herb, Alaska Sausage made some lemon-peppered smoked salmon for us last year. That was wonderful. Do you have other flavors as well?
Yes, there's lots of options. People like our kippered salmon and our cold smoked salmon lox, and we can add special seasonings like Cajun and lemon pepper. But I also recommend smoking your halibut. It produces a moist product that is just wonderful.
Herb, we don't do much fishing, but I would love to send some outside for our friends. Can you do that for us?
Absolutely. We not only have gift packs of smoked salmon and halibut, we can also mix in any combination of our famous Alaskan sausage with reindeer meat, or maybe bratwurst for our spicy Louisiana hot things.
Alaska Sausage and Seafood is the place, 2914 Arctic Boulevard.
Just tell them Herb sent you.
Welcome back. This is the Aaron Selvig Show. Senator Hollis French, our guest. So Caroline puts forward the question, why can't the two parties put themselves in each other's shoes? She does make a good point that if the Democrats were in charge and they were pulling some of the same kind of shenanigans that the Republicans are doing now, the Republicans would be freaking out. I'm thinking Monica Lewinsky level of freaking out. Why can't...
It was ever thus. The pendulum goes back and forth, the worm always turns, and it's just one of the inherently bad qualities of power is that it corrupts. And when your power has been, your party's been in power for 40 years, you're doing bad stuff, and that's what led to the Republican Revolution, in the mid-80s and early 90s, and that's what's going to swing us back, because folks are now getting fed up with the corruption, the self-serving, actions of both the national and the state legislature.
The robbing from the poor and giving to the rich. 527, the Anchorage Bowl. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Before we let you go, Hollis, to prepare for your trip back to Juneau again, let's go to the phones one more time to line 3 and Chuck. Chuck, are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Hi, Chuck. What's on your mind?
Well, just real quickly, the tax that is being proposed for... unproduced gas?
The reserves tax.
Reserves mm-hmm. tax.
Mm-hmm.
California has it. Texas has it. Oklahoma has it. Every single oil-producing state except Alaska has it. The difference is that the tax is... or the gas is basically owned in those areas by individual property owners.
Hmm.
And the reality is that Alaska is the only state in the union that produces petroleum products that it doesn't have a reserves tax. And, if the Murkowski administration is telling you something different, they are 180 degrees wrong.
Well, they are, Chuck. They're saying that that this reserves tax would be the only place, not just in the country, in the world, that had some kind of a tax like that. Senator French, have you seen some information, some hard data to the contrary?
I have not, and I'd be fascinated to look at any statute, any regulation, any opinion piece that describes something that taxes gas in the ground, basically for warehousing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt that there may be some system that assigns a tax value to gas in the ground, but I'd have to see it down in writing to see how it works.
Thanks for that, Chuck. We're flat out of time. Senator Hollis French, thanks again for taking time out to come in here.
It's always stimulating. I really appreciate being on your show.
We always love to have you, and go get them down there in Juneau.
Next week.
All right, very good. Starts on Monday. Can't wait for the spectator sport that is not so special sessions.